All right, we'll go ahead and get going. I want to pray for us, and then we will kind of unpack a little bit of this fall and what's coming and kind of the purpose of this meeting, and then get to a lot of your questions as you have them. So let's pray together, and then we will move forward. Father, thank you for these people. I love seeing their faces. I wish we were face to face. God, thank you for your faithfulness to us. We come today to praise you as much as to talk about our plans for the future. And so, God, would you help us each to reflect on just how beautiful you are, how incredible you've been to our church, and guide us as we begin to look ahead, that we continue to embrace your wisdom, that we would continue to trust you and have peace, and that we would walk in your ways as a church. God, lead us forward. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, a little bit of Zoom etiquette reminder. I know most of us have been on Zoom for the last 6 months, so we're kind of somewhat used to it. But if you could stay on mute as much as possible so we don't have to mute you and you feel like we're being rude, use those emojis, because that's how the world's going to communicate in the future, is just with the thumbs up and a little clap up on the side. And insert your questions into the chat. Use that chat feature because I couldn't figure out how to do a Google form. So we want to be able to answer your questions later. We'll have a Q&A time at the end. And so we'll do that. So let me tell you about what this meeting is going to be about. See, there's obviously so much has happened. I can't believe it's actually been 6 months that we have been just a church purely online. And so as we begin to transition into a new phase of both in-person and online, this meeting is going to focus on the fall and what it looks like for us to reopen. We'll do a little bit of reflecting on what's happened, but really focused on what's ahead. One of the things that has happened over these last 6 months is that God has really pressed in on us as a team of pastors and our leadership to really refine and then define what we're about, to be able to revisit why do we exist as a church and what has God done over these last 2 years, because we had been in the middle of transition. You know, 2 years ago, transitioning to saying we're going to be a church that is full of and led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then over this last year with the leadership transition, as I became lead pastor, as Ryan and his family went on sabbatical. And in the midst of all those transitions, COVID, which was fantastic. God has used this 6 months in a very unique way for our church, because without it, I don't know if we really would have really surrendered to God fully. And he has refined and he has cut off some of the things that we have done. And he has really reoriented to say, I want you to focus on this. In the midst of that, he has shown us that we need to define our vision as a church and our mission, why we do everything. And he's begun to reveal some new pastors, a new staffing structure. And all of that is a lot to communicate. And so we want to do that at a healthy pace and at a healthy time. And so we're going to have another one of these all church meetings over Zoom in October. And that's going to be a very big meeting where we unpack what the future of our church is going to look like with our vision and mission and where God is leading us forward. And so that's what's coming in October. But all of us are kind of in a moment as fall comes to New York where we're trying to figure out what does it mean now? For those of you with kids, it's like, what does schooling look like? What does work look like? How do I stop, you know, living at work at home? How do we reorient all of our days? And so we're figuring that out. And the same is true for us. As we begin to lay out our fall plans, we want to invite you to be a part of that. And so today we're going to focus really on what does discipleship look like as a church for us this fall? And then what does it mean for us to reopen in a wise, in a healthy, in a safe way so that we can move forward as both a church online and a church in person? But before I really get into that, I want to pause and just praise God for his faithfulness these last 6 months. Because looking backward and reflecting, I am amazed. One, that it's been 6 months. But two, that God prepared us with what we needed before we even knew it. And so I just want to take a moment and thank him. And I want you to also join me in thanking him. And when I think about that, I think about it in terms of the people that God has given us and the provision that God has given us. And so back in March, we made the decision that we're going to go fully online. And, you know, we initially thought, okay, just a few weeks, we'll flatten that curve and we'll be back. And there were other plans that kind of came in. What we didn't know is that God had already provided us the people that we needed to make that transition. And when I think about that, I want to start by just thanking Michael Dunbar and TJ Costello, because without them, church online live stream does not happen. So happy birthday to TJ today. And big thanks to Michael for making this happen. Not only them, but our band and our production. You know, you've met Karim, or if you haven't, you should, because he makes all of our sound work. Anytime there's a sound issue, we're like, hey, what's going on? And he fixes it immediately. And so we're thankful for Karim, for Alf and Alex and Janice and Esther and Chris and Josh and, you know, all of this that have made this last 6 months a worshipful experience, including Emily behind the camera. So many people we have to thank for just making church happen on a Sunday. And these are people that came to us and had an initial role, and they were kind of going, I could do more. And we were like, I know, but we don't know what yet. And God was like, just wait a second, I have a plan. And so I'm incredibly thankful for him providing there. For those of you who've tuned into any of our social media, that is all Sam Rodbell. So a big thank you and praise God for Sam, because she has just been a huge gift. She's creating that content you see that's incredibly beautiful, and she is helping us make those daily devotionals possible. And so these are just people that God has provided so that we can continue to be a church, because the church is not about a place, but it is about a people pursuing God and his full presence and helping you engage with him. And that's not to mention our amazing community group leaders and Marcy and Courtney and Casey and our staff and Mia, who have just said, we're going to help our church continue to thrive, not just survive, but continue to grow as a people. And so I praise God that he provided us the people we needed before we even knew it. But on top of that, I can look and say, just like Joseph in Genesis, before there were challenges, God provided to meet the challenge. The same is true for our church. We can look back at the miracle of generosity and say that God has always provided before we knew what it was going to be used for. And we can say it again. We can say it again, that God moved at the end of last year. Remember, we were blown away by this another miracle of generosity. And then we said, okay, God, we want to give away this money. Show us what to do with it. And when COVID hit, we were able to immediately go to our partner churches, our partners and mission around the world, and our partners here in the city that we knew as nonprofits were going to be hit hard financially. They were going to be asked to do more with less. And so we were able to immediately distribute over $200,000 to our partner organizations at the beginning of COVID. Amazing. That is a testament to God blessing our church and blessing you and your obedience to him. As we continue to stay faithful, we want to continue to distribute that money. But it's not the only pandemic that we were confronted with over this time. Because while there was this this immediate pandemic of COVID-19, God said, I want to deal with a long-term pandemic of racism that began in your country in 1619. And as we were confronted with racial injustice, we were able again to say, it's time to put our money where God's mouth is and to say, we want to be a part of your heart for justice. And so again, we've been able to say, we're going to give $200,000 towards fighting racial injustice. And we gathered a group around race to pray and to inform that. And we're in the process of vetting the right organizations to distribute our money towards God's work of justice here in this city. We want to see God's kingdom come and use every ounce of who we are to do it, including our resources. And that's just what we've been able to do now, because we're going to our organizations now for our regular outside giving to say we're ready to continue to give. And so our budget for this year was to give away around $800,000, and that has not changed because you have continued to faithfully give. And so our finance team has helped us really plan and organize. And while things have shifted, both in our expenses and kind of what we're doing, we're still able to continue that passion for generosity, to be a people that give and continue to trust God that He will give to us again for next year. And so we're kind of in the middle of that process of outside giving, and we will have a mission Sunday to be able to say what that looks like for us going forward. So all of that to say, praise God. Praise God. And that doesn't even get into the very personal stories that many of you have, because what we've allowed to do with this is to stay connected with you as you have gone all over the world, literally. You are all over the world tuning in and joining us. And then as we launched our virtual prayer room, we were praying for people in Portland and in Ohio, and in our prayer during the week, praying with people around the world. This is a weird time and a painful time, and yet God has turned it on its head so that His presence and power can go forward. And that's just who God is. And so incredibly thankful, and wanted to make sure that we praise God for that. But also to say thank you for being the church. Thank you for being the church, and don't stop. Don't stop being this faithful remnant that continue to surrender to God so that He continues to do great things. With that, I want to turn our attention to our fall plans. And I want to tell you what God's been kind of impressing upon my heart on a very personal level, and convicting and refining me. We've talked in the past about Joshua chapter 1, about this idea of entering into the promised land. And each of us have these visions of what the promised land could look like for our own lives and for our own church. And we don't believe that God's changed His promises by any means. He may have changed some of the timing on it, but He is really changing us to be prepared for what that looks like. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, God's been using this verse over the last couple of weeks. It's the first time that He challenged Joshua to say, be strong and courageous. But it's this next part that really challenged me. He says, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. And what God has challenged me in that is to say, it's His plans, it's His promises, and it's His promised land for you, for our church, and for the city. And I am just one of those dots that God uses to connect those things so that you and our church continue to receive His plans and His promises, and we walk in that together. And that's God's call for us, and that's God's call for our team of pastors to be able to say, this is what we are pursuing. We just want to be a conduit in that. And then as we enter into this next season, the verses in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, this exhortation to be the people of God, of one spirit, one church moving forward, has really been encouraging me. But specifically verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There's this kind of invitation to let His peace reign. And resting and sitting with that this week, God was just saying, if I am not letting His peace reign, that means I'm actively resisting it. But we need to be a people of peace in a world that is not peaceful, in a world that continues in chaos and uncertainty and in political unrest and civil unrest. We have this unique ability in this moment to be the body of Christ and to proclaim the gospel simply by being a people that let God's peace reign. And so I want us to embrace that as a church so that we walk in the power of Jesus Christ. And the question is how? And so as we walk forward in how we do that, I want to remind you that God's plans haven't changed. You know, that He wants us to be a people that make disciples. That as much as it's about gathering together to worship the name of Jesus, more so it's about being sent out to make disciples of all nations. That's why Jesus came. In Luke 4, he says, I've been anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set captives free, to heal every disease. And then he gives his same authority and power to each of us who believe, that we would go out and heal every affliction and heal every disease. And so we start as a church asking the question, how are we going to do discipleship? How are we going to be effective? And over these last 6 months, we've learned a lot as we've done these daily devotionals, weekly prayer, as we've had those worship and midweek worship, worship into the weekend, of just those core ideas of daily being in the Word as a people, of seeking God and worshiping Him. We want to make sure that's the foundation. And then as we had those classes, we had over 80 people engage in classes to learn how to study the Bible, how to pray, to deal with soul care and seek healing. And then we had our community groups continue. And Marcy has been working on what discipleship looks like for the entire church. And Courtney's been working on what it looks like for discipleship with the families. And so I want to pause for a moment and let you hear from Marcy exactly what God is kind of leading us towards the future, but what that looks like here in this fall moment, so that you can participate in continuing to pursue being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to pass it over to Marcy, and I want you to give her a lot of round of applause, because you know that she has hunted you down wherever you have been, and she's been amazing. So Marcy, take it away.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to see you guys. If my voice cracks, I'm sorry. I try to put a cough drop in before I talk to y'all, but because I run my mouth so much, I'm losing my voice. Anyway, I haven't seen some of you all in a while, and I'm making notes, so I'm coming for you if I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm so glad you guys are on here. I'll make this really quick because the breadth of what we're going to do over the fall is pretty complicated and pretty intricate, and I'll lay all that out, roll all that out for you one at a time as we start to do it. But just to give you the overview, we're going to start an equipping program for you all as people who are already in the church, and an equipping program for people as they walk in the door. And so it's going to be a 5-pathway model of equipping, and really just making sure that we've got foundational Bible reading and employment, and prayer and employment. And then as we walk through deeper levels with God, that we in the church are facilitating that and shepherding that correctly. And some of that will be in group, and we'll talk about what that looks like. And a lot of you all are going to be asked to be involved in helping me with that. And so you'll be receiving phone calls from me about that. And then some of it will be very individual. And so there's going to be several different ways that we roll this out, but really the result of it needs to be this idea. God keeps coming back to this idea of the Great Commission with me and saying, is everything you're doing putting people on the pathway to be in closer relationship with me so that I can then use them in the kingdom of God? And that means a lot of things, right? That means equipping people for prayer and being able to read the Bible and understand it and know this God that we serve. That means exploring spiritual giftings and where should we be helping people plug into that. That means healing. And so we'll have healing pathways that we're able to take people on, and some of that individual and some of that will be in group. As you all know, it's really hard to get into an intimate level with God past a certain point if you've got really large soul wounds there. And so we're going to work on those in an individual level and group levels. And so it'll really put people on a pathway to sort of understand this is what the basis is for my relationship with God. And then here's how I go into my specialty areas with Him, right? Here's how I figure out what He wants me to do in the kingdom. And I don't have to do that by myself. I'm going to do that facilitated by people praying for me and walking alongside me, and the equipping that will come from a lot of you all through this process. So it will be a lengthy process and several different pathways. And like I said, we'll lay that all out for you all, but we're excited about that. Over the next probably 6 to 8 weeks, there's just going to be a lot of individual conversation and discussion about where best to plug people in. And we'll do a little dipping our toe in the water to start get some of these things launched. So my ask to all of you is just to pray about where God might want you to be involved in that. And I'll have one-on-one conversations with you as well. But this is a church-wide endeavor. It's not a certain section. It will be everybody in some section, whether you're in the class being discipled or whether you're the discipler, and then we move you through the pathway of discipled into discipler, right? And so everyone will be somewhere on the pathway. And so really praying about that and seeing where God's been speaking to you and the things that you would be interested in being involved in that. So more to follow on that, but just to let you know that we're excited about it, and it's going to be a sort of a church-wide movement, for lack of a better word. So we're excited to get to get started on that with you all. So last thing, if I email you or call you, please answer because I need your help. So that's what I'm going to be asking for over the next few weeks is, hey, can you pray about this with me? And let's figure out where you fit in the wall, right? Because we're all in there. And so that's what we're going to do for the fall and into next year. Obviously, we'll really get in the preparation phase in the fall and then kick that off in January to have those things really up and running well. And then last thing, we'll have a virtual women's retreat in the middle of October, and you guys can expect all the information on that this week. So we'll get that all out to you, and we're excited about that. We've got speakers from about 6 different churches coming in, and we're going to do that in partnership with some other churches in New York City. So that's really going to be fun. So really excited about that, and you all will get that information this week. So love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Well, we love you and we're thankful for you, Marcy. I think she downplayed that women's retreat thing because this was a vision from God that she and another one of our partner organizations had together. And so now we're having 6 churches come together for a women's retreat. That wouldn't have happened other than kind of this moment of us going, okay, God, what are you trying to do differently with the people of God through this, that we can display to the world a level of unity that doesn't exist around our country and around our city. So, Marcy, we can't thank you enough for how tirelessly you seek God and seek our church. You're a huge blessing to us, and we miss seeing you face to face. I'm going to pass it over to another one of our heroes on staff, and that's Courtney. And in the midst of her welcoming Peter, she helped our families transition online and with the help of Michael and others created these online environments for your kids. And so as she comes up, continue your clapping online and emojis. And she's going to share a little bit about what the fall looks like for our children's ministry.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. Good morning, Faye and Haven. I see you out there. To any other kids I don't see, just huge kisses and hugs to you all. Okay, so kids in the fall. Just a quick recap on the summer. We did Jonah over the summer, which was a whale of a time. Sorry, I couldn't resist. And so because it just felt so right to be in the stories of the Bible, we're going to continue that in the fall. And we're going to continue it with looking at these small stories with really big messages. Specifically, we're going to look at the stories of Joshua, Daniel, which Moses talked about today. I don't think that was a coincidence. Esther and Ruth. And the purpose of looking at these stories is not just for the sake of your kids being able to retell these stories to you or their friends, but really it's a chance for them to come to know God's faithfulness and love. Proverbs 3:3-6 has been really a guiding light for me here. It says that we want to let love and faithfulness never leave us. We want to bind them around our necks and write them on the tablet of our hearts. And that's what I want to do with your kids this fall. I want these stories to be written on the tablets of their hearts. And so in moments when they need to remember God's faithfulness and love, these are the things they have to think about. These stories of these amazing men and women in the Bible. And so how is that going to happen? How is that going to get to you and your kids? Well, there are a couple of ways that I want to talk about briefly this morning. First is online church. Continuing to do online church, just as we have done for the past month. So doing live stream premieres on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. We are doing the next 2 Sundays just introducing the stories to your kids. So you'll see videos of, you know, the story of Joshua and the story of Ruth already up there on this Sunday. And starting on the 27th, we'll actually begin again with our regularly recorded services. So in the meantime, until we get to September 27th, I really encourage you to watch those videos with your kids, read your children's Bibles, those 4 stories, so that they become familiar with them. And so that when we really start digging into them, we can have conversations about what God is trying to say to them through these stories. So we have our online church. And on top of that, I am sending out craft kits to home. So if you are at home and want a craft kit, please reach out to me. I want to get one to you. Even if you plan on coming to church, get a craft kit in your home so that, you know, your kids can be working on this even within the four walls of their bedrooms. Second way is in-person church. And there are two ways in which you can enjoy in-person church. The first will be through our children's ministry area. There will be a max capacity on this. And so we will have registration open for you if you would like to come into the children's ministry area. This will look like regular programming, but of course with all the safety protocols and procedures in place, social distancing and sanitizing and mask wearing. And the second is a family area. So if you want to bring your kids to the main service, but be in an area where your kids can stay with you, there will be an opportunity for that as well. And every kid who comes to church will also get a craft kit as well, so they can be engaged in something throughout the morning. Two requests that I have for you. One is, if you need a craft kit, please make sure that you reach out to me to get one. And the second is, as we open up registration for the children's ministry area, I encourage you to register even if we've hit our max capacity. I want to keep a pulse on what the interest looks like so that we can think about expanding that as the weeks move forward. Thank you guys so much. I miss all of your kids so very, very much, and I cannot wait to see them. Bye.
Are we still good? Okay, I just can't see. Okay, all right. Okay, so huge thanks to Courtney. Really phenomenal that she has been able to put stuff online for kids, and she wants to do that. Let me recap the two asks that you just received. The first was from Marcy to get ready to be enlisted into Marcy's army, I mean the Lord's army or whatever it is, but get me ready to hear from her. If you're not in a community group, reach out, sign up so that you can be a part of what God is doing in these community groups and the discipleship pathways that are to come. And then with Courtney, reach out for a craft kit, reach out to let her know your family's plan so that we can be a part of what God's doing in your home. I want to give you an update on our youth ministry, and all of our youth families kind of already know this, but so Casey Crocker, our youth minister over this last year, he and his wife, first of all, are expecting their first. Congratulations to them. But second, this summer they felt called to move out of New York City to go and plant a church in Colorado Springs in Colorado. And so as they felt called by God, they felt this urgency to go. And so this last year, Casey has helped us kind of transition and engage with the youth. And there have been these amazing moments that he's had with each of these students. And so we are going to miss him, even though we're excited for him to continue to follow God going forward. I'm continually thankful for so many of our youth volunteers who have continued just to pursue our students. You know, Jackson and Josiah, Grant and Andy, Matt, Sam, Rodbell, Hannah, so many of you that have invested in the lives of these students. Thank you so much. I'm in the process of actually trying to connect with our students as we talk about the youth ministry going forward to plan with them, so that this can be their ministry as they try to figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus at their age and their environment and what's coming up. And so we have plans for them as well. We're just trying to make sure that it kind of coincides with what God's doing in their lives. All right, so now I want to transition into this idea of us becoming a church in person and online. And the first thing I want to say is, going forward, we don't have answers to everything, but we do know that God has made it clear that we will continue to be a church online going into the future. That his mandate and call upon us is to spread the name and the fame of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And becoming an online church has allowed us to do that. It's allowed us to reconnect with a number of people who have moved out of the city and moved away from our church and feel like this is a place where they can grow in the Lord. It's allowed us to connect with new people, some family members, some friends, that you, just by posting on social media that you're watching our service, has allowed them to tune in and to connect with our community. And we've found that through our online means, discipleship can continue and be propelled, and that we can see the power of prayer even happen through Zoom, and surprisingly, even through Google Meet as well on Mondays. So we want to continue to be this church online. We know that. As we move into gathering again in person, we recognize that there are risks involved. And so we are taking the necessary precautions, following the protocols set by the CDC, by the state of New York, even by our venue, so that we can reopen in a healthy way. This past Tuesday night, to have our worship night on the roof was a very surreal experience. To be able to see so many of you face to face, to experience both that energy and that excitement, but then to have the ability afterwards to connect face to face. You know, I don't get that chance on these Sundays. And I, as much as I love looking at this camera, I'd rather just look directly into your faces and hear from you what God's doing. And so we rejoice in this ability to welcome some new people in person, to allow our church to reconnect in person in a safe way. So I want to be able to give to you kind of a sense of what to expect. And then we're going to continue to communicate a lot in the coming days. So next Sunday, September 20th, we are going to have our first in-person and online gathering. And as we've started to prepare for that, Courtney and Michael, huge thanks to them, have put together kind of our policies and procedures that are going to guide the way that we operate as a church during this time. And we have combined that along with the kind of venue guidelines that have been given. And so we're going to try to put those in the chat, but we'll be emailing those out. Those are going to be online. You can see them. We've had our staff and our pastors review them. As they need to be updated, we will do so. But it's going to feel different because we know that this idea of COVID is serious, and we don't want to take it flippantly or foolishly, but we want to continue what we said at the beginning, to embrace wisdom and to reject fear. And to embrace wisdom means that we need to follow the protocols. So the venue has limited our capacity, and so because of that, we will have an RSVP system with a wait list. We did this for the worship night, and what I loved about it was how you participated. You know, we had almost as long as a wait list as we did as those arriving, but the number of you who said, I have a spot, but I want to make it available to somebody else, was very beautiful. Because you said, I want to honor the needs of others, that if they need to gather in person, I want to make a way for that. And so I just encourage you to continue to have that posture, a posture of love that says, I want people to experience God, even if that means me not going initially. We're going to keep tracking that RSVP because we want to make as many opportunities for people. Initially, we're going to start with just one service. And as that kind of demand increases and our ability to handle it does, we may go to two services. We may try to utilize the different spaces in our venue in a unique way. We're going to try to figure out what that looks like. Those of you who aren't here, there's something crazy going on outside, and all I can hear are honks. So New York is healing. People are back and participating. It's a very unique moment. So as I try not to be distracted by that, we're going to have an RSVP. But then as you come to the venue, we're going to ask that you wear masks. So we printed these fabric masks, and we will have plenty of them on hand. But we recognize that these fabric masks are really fashionable. They're really good for you to kind of take and market yourself around the city. And we want to give them to you. But when it comes to gathering in person, there are even some mask requirements that we are going to follow, because not all of them are good for singing or interacting in an in-person inside environment. And so if we just suggest an additional mask that you need to wear because you came with a bandana or just a face mask, we just ask that you honor that as we seek to honor our venue and the protocols that we have established. It's just our way of continuing to maintain safety and not not spreading COVID around. So there will be social distance when we gather, and you will be wearing the mask at all times indoor and while we sing. And it may feel different at first, just like this whole thing has been different. But this is our way of moving forward in a healthy and wise way. And what we've experienced on Tuesday night was it was beautiful to gather in person and then for many to experience it online. And so we're excited for what that looks like going forward. One of the questions that I was asked is, how do we make sure that we don't make the news for all the wrong reasons? Because there have been churches that have become news because of them being a space for it to spread. And my answer to that is that it takes all of us. It takes all of us that are committed to following the protocols that are established. And so many New Yorkers have done that respectfully, and we want to continue in that trend to be able to say we're going to respect each other, and we want to make news for the right reasons, for the way that we love our neighbors, for the way that we give generously to the needs of our neighbors. That's how we want to make the news, not by making the news through spreading that virus. So please participate in this in a healthy way. We are going to kind of stagger the number of people that are going up the elevator, and there's just going to be an experience like that. So if you do RSVP, we are going to start opening the doors around 9:45 so that you can get up and kind of get situated. For the kids, there's going to be another entrance. And so we have two entrances to our venue. Two Disbrosas is our main entrance. 10 Disbrosas is where the kids are going to be located initially. We are going to limit the capacity initially. There's only going to be 50 people in our in-person gathering on the 12th floor, and then only 10 kids. Now, as Courtney mentioned, we want you to continue to RSVP because the wait list was changing up until, you know, just a few hours before we gathered on Tuesday night. And it's our way of knowing, do we need to accommodate or try to accommodate more? And can we do it in a healthy way? That's how we're going to approach this going forward. The other thing I'll say is this, you know, on worship night, I heard a few stories from people in different settings. Those who came in person that said, I needed this, remembering what it was like to gather, to be in person and to sing with the church, and it refreshed them. I want you all to experience that. Second, I heard from a group of people that with their quarantine pod, as they kind of associated with each other, they formed their own kind of watch party. We're not going to formally organize that, but if there are families that you feel connected with and safe with, and you feel like you can do that in a safe and healthy way, feel free, because the connection with another human being is crucial to how God has wired and designed us. So I heard of a group of people worshiping together and experiencing that. And then I got to see and hear from people that were watching it from afar, those who have not yet made the trek back or may not make the trek back here to New York. And so these are the three avenues by which we get to now participate as a church. And we're going to learn and we're going to grow, but we're going to do this in a healthy fashion. So with that, I'm going to open it up to some questions. I can't see the chat anymore, but I did have someone submit a few questions to me personally, because too many of you have my phone number. One of the questions, in addition to how do we not make the news, and that's, you know, one of the things you will experience is that we have people that are going to be monitoring the protocols. And the way that we're trying to kind of monitor that is that we'll have people floating around kindly reminding you to respect social distance and respect kind of mask wearing. And so if we do that, no, it's merely out of love and respect. It's not trying to kind of be Cuomo's police. But the second question that people asked was, what happens if we discover that someone who has attended has COVID and has tested positive? So the RSVP system allows us to honor our venue requirements and the state of New York's desire to have contact tracing enabled, and allows us to communicate if someone has tested positive, to communicate to those who were around. in that case, we'll encourage people to either get tested or to contact the medical provider or to self-quarantine as a way of protecting, because we do not want to be an event like has happened in the past where somebody got it here and it began to spread. So we will be communicating with those in attendance, and we will begin to reflect, do we need to go online? Has our staff been exposed in such a way that we need to kind of pause in-person gatherings and just return to church online? I don't want to do that, but I also just want to honor what God has asked us to do in that of saying, we're going to respect the state of New York, because we are at a place right now where the transmission is low and we want to continue that. As everything begins to open up more, we want to continue to do this wisely and safely. Another question I had was around worship. Because singing as a group has been known to spread the virus. As a result, here's what the CDC and WHO has guided us on that we're going to follow. So anybody who is singing must be at least 12 feet if they don't have a mask. Now, the good news is you guys already provided us 12 feet because none of you ever sat in the front rows. But we're going to just kind of set everything in order in such a way that there is enough distance so that the speaker on Sunday, Janice, Alex, Alf, everyone who's singing is going to be at a 12-foot distance in regards to that. You'll notice our band is going to be more spread out, and those not singing will be wearing masks. Those in the audience, including myself, will be wearing masks, and we will sing with masks on. And doing that at worship night, eventually you just forget it. Sure, there's the adjustments that you have to make, just like we do when we're talking in person, but you get used to it as you worship together. So we're going to ask that you wear masks the entire time, especially when you're singing, and we're going to make sure that we have the right masks given to everybody involved. We will be taking temperatures as people arrive, so that if you have a higher temperature, we're going to ask that you not come and turn you away at the door. So with that, are there any other questions?
Hey, Logan, I got a quick question for you.
I think Robert's trying to ask a question, but I can't hear him.
Am I on mute?
Robert, can you type it in?
I'll type it up.
Robert, re-ask that question.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I was just thinking it'd almost be cool for the RSVP system to have like two different yeses, like a yes and a yes, but willing to give up slot, because there's probably most Sundays I will choose yes, but I also know some people are going to be like starving to be in person a little bit more. And I almost want to just like, as a church family, like give those people priority, you know, like the people who just say yes, like, great, but like for myself, it's kind of in a way almost automatically waitlisting myself. But I don't know. I don't want to make it too complicated, but that's just something that came to mind for me.
Yeah. I first of all, this is the heart that we need to continue to embrace as a church that says, you know, how do I love my brother and sister? And so thank you so much for Robert for modeling that. And second, this RSVP system that we have, we're able to add that complexity to be able to know. And so as we have a wait list, and especially if people, you know, you're on the RSVP, you're like waiting for that email and you somehow have the ability to say yes before everybody else, you know who you are. We are going to continue to follow up and say, how do we make room for some other people? But Robert, thanks for that idea. And we'll be adding that to our RSVP system. Any other questions? If you have a question and you're having issues unmuting your thing, feel free to put it in the chat or add to the chat if you have any questions. I'll start doing a countdown and then we'll close the meeting. All right. All right. So sometimes in these Zoom settings, it's not the easiest to be able to kind of voice the question that you have lingering. And so I do want to encourage you, feel free to email us if you have ideas that you think would be helpful. whether, you know, like Robert, you have an idea about the RSVP system, or you have questions that you want to know the answer to, but, you know, you felt like it was too specific to your situation, or there's other ideas that you have, or you're saying, how can I help? We're always looking for more volunteers in the various things that we are doing as a church. So feel free to email us. You know, Courtney's email is right there. At the risk of not overwhelming her, you can email Marcy or myself on that front. Let me just recap a few things. Number one, you know, as we engage as a church, our primary role is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to be followers of Jesus who spread the gospel. And so in doing that, you know, Marcy's going to be engaging with you and asking you to engage in community groups and in these discipleship environments. I recognize that most of our existence is through Zoom, and so it's not always easy for us to continue into Zoom and community. But I can tell you from my experience that every time I get off of a community group environment on Zoom or a conversation or a prayer group, it's better than if I'm just in a Zoom meeting. And so press on and persevere even in these online environments. I know it'll bless you. The second thing, for those of you with families and kids, reach out to Courtney. We want to make sure that you get all the resources, the craft kits. I know you're looking for things to occupy your kids' time, so she has them, and we will have more videos to come. So that's the second thing. The third thing is reach out with encouragement to these people who are serving you. People like Michael, TJ, Emily, Courtney, Marcy, our band, production, they are, I get to see behind the scenes, and I'm blown away by their commitment to making sure that you are connected with this church. So incredibly thankful for them. Last thing, as the RSVP system comes out, feel free to RSVP, and let's continue to not just when we gather as a church, but all throughout our lives, carry with us the peace of Christ, but also the wisdom of Christ, so that we, through his power, can continue to see this disease defeated, so that our city can return and be restored and be rebuilt. And we believe that we have a part to play in that. So incredibly thankful for all of your faithfulness and your obedience. Let's continue to be a people that follow Jesus in this season and continue to tell more stories like Moses told today, that in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of these crazy circumstances, we met God, we saw his power, we saw his presence do amazing things. We want to see those stories multiply. So with that, incredibly thankful for all of you who joined. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I'm going to close us in prayer. Look forward to seeing you all in the rest of this week, either through daily devotionals, Monday prayer tomorrow, or in other means. So love you all. Look forward to having our service next week in person and online. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being a God who transcends place, who transcends challenges. Thank you, Jesus, that you have overcome everything that we have already faced. That if you can defeat death and grant to us the Holy Spirit, what will you not give us? Continue to transform us in this time. For those in isolation, be that presence that they need, that they would not feel alone, but they would feel your love for them. As we continue to grow as a church and community, let us be the church that reaches out to our neighbors and our coworkers, our friends and our family in need, and extends to them the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we exist not for ourselves, Lord, but for this city and our nation's transformation, that more people would come to know you. And so help us to have our eyes fixed outward, to see the hurting and those in need of truth, that we would proclaim the gospel that we have received, a gospel of love, a gospel of power, a gospel of victory. Please renew us and renew our city. We ask this for your name and your glory to go forward. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Awesome. Love you all. Have a great rest of your Sunday. See ya.